Jeremy Pruitt is gone at the University of Tennessee. Philip Fulmer to step down. But don't ask Tennessee's leadership if Fulmer played any role in the level one and level two violations that cost Jeremy Pruitt his job. They will tell you how great Phil Fulmer is. Trevor Maddich, ESPN analyst, will be here in studio in an hour with his reaction to the news, his reaction to Tennessee's press conference, his thoughts on where the Vols go from here. So a lot of people believe in the fact that the ends justify the means. That's something that we've all heard throughout life. Sometimes the ends just justify the means. And at the end of the day, if Tennessee fires Jeremy Pruitt, and instead of having to pay Jeremy Pruitt a buyout like they had to pay Derek Dooley, like they had to pay Butch Jones, even like they had to pay Philip Fulmer, at the end of the day, if they can just get out of that buyout and that money helps them land a star coach and Tennessee becomes great in the SEC again, then a lot of you will believe that the ends justify the means. Now, it's unfair to do this as a radio host when you don't know the truth. And we don't know it. It's unfair to say that Jeremy Pruitt was fired for cause and that the real cause deep down in the hearts at the University of Tennessee is that he wasn't a good enough coach. That's what I think it is, but I can't tell you that as a fact. So maybe the recruiting violations were really, really bad. As I said, maybe Jeremy Pruitt wrote a check to a recruit for $150,000, signed it with his name, and that's his bank account, and bang. We normally don't see that, but maybe. But the truth is, it doesn't feel like that's why Tennessee did this. And even if that's the case, that they did it because Pruitt screwed up, there are humongous ramifications that will come towards the Vols because they had to fire their last coach for cause. First of all, Jeremy Pruitt's probably going to sue the university. When he sues the university, normally there's a settlement. Do you know why there's a settlement? Because if they don't settle, then people go to court, hands get put on Bibles, emails become public, and most times universities don't want that. Most times coaches don't want that. So they meet in the middle and they settle. That's the first thing. The second thing is, by highlighting how bad these violations are in order to fire Jeremy Pruitt, you're also telling the NCAA, hey, come investigate us. Hey, come over here and look at everything. Hey, give us a bowl ban. Hey, go ahead and take away scholarships, because that is undoubtedly going to happen. Now, Tennessee probably wasn't going to make a bowl game next year anyways. So a bull ban's probably not the end of the world, but it ain't going to help in recruiting. And then the other angle is, what about the next coach? Because if I'm the next coach at Tennessee and I'm going to sign a contract, am I going to trust that these people will honor their contract, or will I worry, hey, if I don't win games, they're going to come snooping around trying to find something that somebody who works for me did so they can fire me and not have to honor the contract? That's the first thing. The second thing is, these scholarship reductions, bowl bans, implications for more penalties down the road, that's not going to want to make me just jump into the University of Tennessee where Twitter will fire the coach if he doesn't win. I'm not sure I want to join that mess. And the third thing, if you're highlighting your own NCAA violations, which the Vols did today, which the brass did, it's going to make it harder to hire coaches you really want. In fact, coaches that your fan base dreams of, who one day dreamed of coaching your team, but's got their own NCAA baggage themselves, a.k.a. Hugh Freeze. You all want Hugh Freeze. Fire Pruitt, hire Freeze. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic is one of the top reporters in college football, with Fox Sports on the sidelines for some of their biggest games. He was on the midday show, Darren Donick and Chase, today, and said, don't get your hopes up with Hugh Freeze if you've got allegations and NCAA violations on your hands.
Hugh Freeze, I know this for a fact, dreamed of being the Tennessee head coach long before he ever coached a college football game. But the flip side of that is, and I know a lot of Tennessee fans probably would agree, and they think he would go in there and win. But if you now have an NCAA cloud and you just fire a head coach for cause, never mind the optics of whether Tennessee could say, oh, we're going to do that anyway. I don't see Greg Sankey letting them do that at this point. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, to me, Freeze is a guy who goes in there and would win, because I just think he's that good of a coach and that good of an offensive coach, a play caller. But I just don't see Sankey, at the very least, letting them do that, because he knows now he has one of the programs and one of the storied programs in the SEC footprint now is in a really ugly place.
So you can't get Hugh Freeze now, because Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the league, according to Bruce Feldman, he's not too keen on letting Hugh Freeze back into the SEC anyway. But now you have a program facing level one and level two violations, and you want to hire a guy who got fired at Ole Miss for cheating? No, sir. So then who do you hire? Now, again, Tennessee did themselves, I think, a great service today, not just long-term but also short-term, with the question being, who are they going to hire next? Kind of calmed by, well, we have to hire the athletic director first. That was their thing. We have to hire the AD first. So you got to know who the AD is before you know who they're going to hire. It's easy just to throw out names now, but what if that athletic director doesn't like that coach? What if the athletic director they do hire has worked with another coach? For me, Tennessee, the list for UT coaches to me is too deep. One is Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. Two is Gus Malzahn. Other than that, do whatever you want. Those are the two guys that I would try to bring in here. But is Luke Fickell, after turning down Michigan State last year, would he have any interest in coming to Tennessee? He just got Cincinnati into a New Year's Six game. When Jim Harbaugh gets fired at Michigan, and just know that that day is probably coming sooner rather than later, wouldn't they line up to hire Luke Fickell? Wouldn't another big-time program that has just as much money as Tennessee with a lot less baggage, wouldn't they want to hire Luke Fickell? Again, he's already turned down Michigan State. So you probably can't even get that guy. Gus Malzahn, hey, he can take his time, recharge the batteries, go hang out on the beach. He's got $21 million coming to him. Does he really want to go somewhere where you might not be able to make a bowl game for 2 or 3 years? So think about this, that while the University of Tennessee is still, I think they got what they wanted. If you had told the fans 2 months ago when the Vols were in the midst of their horrific season, if you had said, okay, you're going to find a way to fire Jeremy Pruitt with cause, you probably would have said, yes, get out from the buyout, don't have to pay him, move on, turn the page, restart the program, let's go, baby. It's going to take us a couple years, but let's go. But just know there are some serious ramifications from these allegations coming to light. Randy Boyd, the president, got on the soapbox today at the press conference and said, if you can't win the right way, you can't coach here. Well, guess what? There's a lot of coaches that have kind of been the rules a little bit, and they know they've been the rules a little bit. So maybe they don't want to come here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. I think today, any chance of Hugh Freeze becoming the next head coach of Tennessee completely went out the window. For me, and I don't know who the AD is going to be. I don't know if they know already who they're going to hire. I have no idea. But if I were AD, my list is too deep. Luke Fickell, Gus Malzahn. And if you can't hire those two guys, then who can you actually go hire? 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your texts. We'll also get to your phones. Your reaction again. The University of Tennessee has lost the football coach again. And this time in the most dramatic fashion we've ever seen. 615-737-1025. I shouldn't say ever seen. the most dramatic fashion we've seen since Johnny Majors, Philip Fulmer in the early 90s. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company's live from the Whole Song Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, The Game.
We have many fine young men, coaches, and administrators in our program. We all know that UT has an outstanding history in academics and athletics. It also demands that we do things the right way and within the rules. I'm proud of that. And we can do that and compete in the greatest conference in the country. As hard as it is, this is a fresh start. I really appreciate Kevin Steele stepping in and helping. He wanted to come home and help his school any way that he could. I appreciate the leaders of our football team and our remaining staff, and I know they will do an outstanding job holding it together and helping to get football back on track.
That was Butch Jones, and you know, Butch, that was Philip Fulmer. I'm all fired, writing down something about Butch Jones. That was Philip Fulmer. By the way, you know it's rich when Philip Fulmer at the press conference has to say, you know, UT is a great academic institution. We got a lot of things going for us. By the way, as far as the conspiracy theories or the looking beyond what you're telling me, last week when they hired Kevin Steele to some defensive position, I saw one of the reporters in Knoxville tweet out and said, this was Jeremy Pruitt's hire. Yeah, right. Kevin Steele was hired to be the interim head coach the entire time. It made no sense that a guy who was going to make $2 million this year and next year, sitting on his rear end doing nothing, just rose his hand and said, yeah, I'll go to Tennessee and go coach linebackers under Jeremy Pruitt. No. Kevin Steele was always coming to be interim coach. Tennessee hired him so that when they knew they were going to fire Pruitt, they could say, okay, Kevin Steele, he's taking over now. He's qualified to do it. That's why they did it. It would be like if Mike Vrabel was on thin ice with the Tennessee Titans and they went out and hired Jeff Fisher to come in and maybe be linebacker coach for a year. Look at Jeff Fisher in here. No, they're doing that because they're going to make Jeff Fisher interim head coach because he can do it. Kevin Steele can do it. Interim head coach. His last job, interim head coach 2 weeks ago at Auburn. He'll be okay. Ray texts into the text line, and our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Ray says, Jared, I totally agree with the Fulmer love during the press conference. It was laughable. Then Fulmer gets up there and says that the program is in a better place. What program is he looking at? We are in way worse of a position. Come back, Butch, LOL. That comes from Ray. And I don't think there's any way objectively you can look at this and say that the program is not in a worse state than they were 3 years ago when they hired Jeremy Pruitt. The only thing that's better about the University of Tennessee football program right now than when they went out and fired Butch Jones and hired Pruitt is that I think the fans have gotten a little bit of a reality check here. Back when Butch Jones got fired and Tennessee opened their search up, the Vols wanted somebody they considered a championship caliber coach to come in. That's why Greg Schiano wasn't good enough, because Vol fans and Vol Twitter thought that Greg Schiano was not good enough to win the national title. And at Tennessee, we're just as proud as Georgia. We're just as proud as Florida. We're just as proud as Alabama. We have the history. We have the resources. We have the stadium. We have the fans. We have the history. We should be competing with them. I don't feel that the fan base has that feeling within today. I think deep down inside they tell you, we'd like to be able to compete with Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. But right now, can we just get a head coach that can beat Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Arkansas? Can we at least get that guy? Can we at least get a guy who can come in and find a quarterback who can play a little bit? Can we at least, can we do that? Like, I think that's what Tennessee fans are thinking today that they weren't thinking before. Before it was all, got to get a guy that can put us back where we belong. And Vol fans are like, let's get us back to like 7 wins. Let's get to 7 wins, 8 wins, and then we can start talking about everything else. In fact, to the texter's point, Is Tennessee in any way better than they were before? When Butch Jones was here, and regardless of how he played them, he actually recruited good players. Joshua Dobbs might be the best quarterback at Tennessee since Peyton Manning. Butch Jones recruited him. Butch Jones coached him. Butch Jones had success with it. He had Alvin Kamara at running back. Now, how much he used Alvin Kamara, why Alvin Kamara didn't play as much before Jalen Hurd left, how they used Alvin Kamara when Jalen Hurd did leave, all of those you can criticize Butch Jones for, and I did, and you should. But he had Alvin Kamara, who's one of the best players in the NFL. Butch had good players. Now, the offensive line was a mess, and he could never get it figured out. And I thought early in the year, it looked like Jeremy Pruitt was somewhat building that offensive lineup, which I thought was the one thing that really made him different from Butch. But Butch recruited good players now. Look at the NFL. We laugh at Butch Jones and brick by brick and how much he talked about recruiting and how much five-star this and five. He recruited much better players than Jeremy Pruitt recruited. Butch Jones beat Florida and Georgia, something that Jeremy Pruitt would never be able to dream about in his tenure at Tennessee. And he won some bowl games. Like, I know that we don't get too excited about the Outback Bowl. We don't get too excited about the Music City Bowl. Or we don't get too... Butch won some games. I don't think you can say with a straight face. And this goes back to last week when people were telling us that Kevin Steele was just coming to work under Jeremy Pruitt. I don't think you can say this with a straight face, that the program is in a better place today than it was when they fired Butch Jones, or than it was when Butch Jones was the coach. And maybe, if anything, the one thing that this will help the new coach is the lack of toxicity from the fan base will probably make it easier for a new coach to succeed. I talked with somebody last week whose kid plays for Tennessee, or played for Tennessee, I should say. And he said the one thing about the program is that everybody needs to tone it down a notch. It's just too negative. It's just too toxic, the anger and the vitriol from the fans. And I think in the wake of the Pruitt thing, I do think the fans are going to take a step back and say, hey, we just want to get a coach who can get us back on the railroad tracks. And I hope that that's what ends up happening, that a coach comes in and does put the Vol football program back on the railroad tracks, and the fans are happy with it. Because one thing that I worry about is the fans, once they get back on the railroad tracks, then all of a sudden say, we ought to be beating Alabama. Whoa, 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 whoa. Baby steps. Scott texts the text line. Says, Jared, I believe the investigation has found the program to be more guilty than would allow Pruitt to stay. Maybe the hope from the school is that by firing him, the severity of the sanctions from the NCAA will be lessened. That comes from Scott. I watched Louisville in 2016 give up their NCAA tournament possibilities. And by giving up their NCAA tournament possibilities, they felt like they were going to get a better punishment from the NCAA than they would have received had they not done it. What they were trying to do was to protect the 2013 championship that they did in fact win when having prostitutes come into the dorm. I now have watched how LSU has handled their basketball situation and how Auburn has handled their basketball situation. And I would argue that the NCAA doesn't really cut you any slack when you go through a situation like this. I think ultimately the recruiting violations were probably pretty bad. But then again, every program, you can find something. But they wanted to find something. This is how investigations work in a fair justice system, like one that we would have in America, which is you are presumed innocent until you are found guilty. Sometimes people have a hard time with that. That's why with a lot of fraud cases and things, people are saying, you don't have any proof. And the other side says, right, but you don't have any proof that that's not true. And in an innocent until proven guilty society, you don't just start investigating somebody because you want them to be guilty. That's what you do in bad societies. That's what you do in places, you know, like Russia. I believe the University of Tennessee went looking to find something. They were looking to find something. because they knew they made a mistake in extending Jeremy Pruitt. They went looking, and they found. Maybe I'm wrong. But as I said earlier, I think you can go to Georgia. I think you can go to Alabama. I think you can go to Florida. I think you can go to Kentucky. I think you can go to Arkansas. Heck, you might even be able to go to Vandy. And if you look close enough, you might find something. I just think that's the nature of the beast. Now, I have long told you, as a college football or college basketball coach, if you get caught and you say, well, everybody else does it, I don't take that line because I think it's like tax fraud. A lot of people cheat on their taxes, less get caught. But if you get caught on your taxes cheating, don't turn around and say, well, they didn't catch so-and-so. But yes, I don't believe the violations they found would have gotten Pruitt fired if he were 7-3. Could be wrong. I just don't buy it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on this next show. Rexrode will join us later this hour. Trevor Maddux will join us in studio 4 o'clock. His reaction to the whole news as well. 615-737-1025 plus. I was a little surprised. Donda Plowman, the chancellor of Tennessee, very strong in her wording. We'll touch on that as well. 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those guys stick through the Vols through thick and thin. That's why their logo is proudly displayed at Neyland Stadium, because they are proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers. They are also proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. You'll see that logo right there on the ice tonight. And guess what? They're going to take great care of you, because this month they are celebrating the new year by allowing you to enjoy their great financing specials. Make no payments and pay no interest for the next 12 months on any new whole home generator, any new tankless water heater, or select new HVAC systems. Take advantage of these great financing deals while you can, because the deals are only available until the end of the month. So schedule today. More specials are online at happyhiller.com. As always, Hitler says, happy you'll be, or the service is free. They are taking every precaution with masks, distance, gloves, and digital payments to keep everybody safe. And again, they are proud supporters of the Vols and the Preds. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Based upon what we know, it is clear that Coach Pruitt did not adequately promote an atmosphere of compliance and or monitor the activities of the coaches and the staff who reported to him. Accordingly, today, Athletic Director Fulmer and I agree that we have no choice but to move forward with terminating Coach Pruitt. He was provided his termination letter this afternoon.
That was Donda Plowman, the new chancellor at the University of Tennessee. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt, see ya, out the door, goodbye. Joe Rexrode will join us in 15 minutes. I promise reaction. Sam texts into the text line and says, should Georgia be concerned? The investigation reportedly started over 2 5-stars that ultimately went to Georgia, and it sounds like the NCAA's next stop should be in Athens. First of all, the question about Georgia recruiting and everybody else that recruits at this high level, when should they not be concerned? When are their names not brought into it? And I don't want to answer your question because I don't even know the players, and I don't know who was recruiting them, and I have no idea. But remember the linebacker from Mississippi State? I think his name was Leo Lewis, and he was the first one to out Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss. Did Mississippi State get in any trouble for that? Did Auburn get in any trouble for Cam Newton when the only evidence was that Cam's dad had told Mississippi State, $100,000 or I forget how much money it was. Cam's dad wanted payment. And I don't think that Mississippi State got in any trouble, and Auburn obviously didn't get in any trouble. I remember a couple of years ago, DJ Fluker, who was a star tackle, who I believe went to the Chargers, DJ Fluker was a star tackle at Alabama, and it came out, Yahoo Sports released a piece that there were payments from agents to DJ Fluker. And Nick Saban got up there and said, I don't have any comment on it. I don't want to know, la, 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 la. And Nick Saban obviously hasn't paid for anything that came from DJ Fluker. So as far as Georgia being concerned, It depends on the level of violation, and it depends on the reality of why Tennessee wanted to do this. We've all been in relationships, right? Maybe you're dating, maybe you're married, and you're in a relationship where deep down inside, it'd be great if the other person found a way to end it. It'd be great if she said, you know, I hate to break it to you, but I cheated on you. And it's like, woo, I'm out of here. And it's like, yeah, I'm really, really disappointed. I hate that. I'm so sad. Okay, pack up, get out. Now, we've had the ones where it devastates us, but we've also had these ones over here. Again, what's the motive for Tennessee here? What's the real motive? Just like last week when they hired Kevin Steele to an unknown defensive position, and David Ubbin said, hey, Jeremy Pruitt made that hire, and he's going to be a position coach on the coaching staff. He was never going to be a position coach on the coaching staff. He wasn't hired by Jeremy Pruitt. And I know that's what they said last week, but you know that's not true. And with Jeremy Pruitt, again, I don't know what the level of violations are. I don't know what the level of cover-up is. I don't know if they were sitting back and saying, you know what? Tennessee's in a position now where they can make the move and kill two birds with one stone. Address the issues of Jeremy Pruitt cheating and get rid of a coach that they didn't want anymore. Maybe so. But it feels to me like if this were LSU basketball and the coach was Will Wade, or if this were Alabama football and the coach was Nick Saban, or if this were Kentucky basketball and the coach was John Calipari, I feel like that they probably would have maybe fought a little bit harder to not fire the coach. And they won't ever tell you that, because every administrator always pretends like the slightest NCAA violation is so beneath them. Randy Boyd, today the president of the University of Tennessee, Randy Boyd, you know, standing up on the soapbox, we don't cheat here at Tennessee. You don't have to do that in order to win at the University of Tennessee. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We hear that all the time. Joe says, I wonder how many of the coaches that got fired today were the same ones who refused pay cuts earlier in the year. So that's tying two stories together that I find to be completely unrelated. So as much as I thought it was a bad look when the offensive coaches and I think it was every single coach except T. Martin and another guy voluntarily declined to take pay cuts, I thought that was a bad look given the pandemic, given what a lot of local people were going through, people in Knoxville, fans in Knoxville. I thought it was really, really, really beneath them to say, I'm making $1.6 million as an offensive coordinator, but yeah, no, I can't take a pay cut. And yeah, we got employees that are getting furloughed or laid off, but I can't take $1.6 million. I got to feed my family. I thought that was a really bad look. I thought it was very classless. Obviously, it's something that's public. You know, my salary's not public. Did I take a pay cut? Yes, I did. But that's not public information. But I think it's classless when you know everything's going to be public and you're still like, no, 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 I'm okay. But I don't think it has to do with anything that was done today. Again, 9 people were fired. And a lot of people will say that, hey, that shows you the lengths of how important it was that 9 people got laid off. Well, think about this. If a new coach comes in, everybody's probably getting fired anyways. So it's not like the idea of cleaning out the recruiting office is something new. Because when Gus Malzahn takes over as head coach, when Luke Fickell takes over as head coach, when James Franklin takes over as head coach, they're going to gut the whole operation anyway, and they'll just bring in all of their new coaches. And by the way, let me say for the record, James Franklin is a name that I would keep in the back of my head. Now, I'm not sure if I believe James does everything on the up and up, but I don't think they're happy with him at Penn State. I think James Franklin is a guy who wears out his welcome because he can be so obnoxious sometimes. Tennessee's got the resources James wants. Tennessee needs a coach who their fans will like and Twitter won't throw a huge fit about. Maybe James Franklin. Again, we got to know who the AD is. And I don't know who Randy Boyd knows, and I don't know who Dondi Plowman knows, and I don't know who their search firm knows, and I don't know what impact Philip Fulmer will have, because Philip Fulmer has acted like, well, whatever they want me to do, I'll help them with, but I don't know. So it could be the associate athletic director across the hall who becomes the AD, like what Vanderbilt did with Candace Story, or they could go out and get a legitimate athletic director. And if they are content on the AD hiring the coach, then we're not going to know who the new coach is at Tennessee for a while. So get excited for some Kevin Steele football. Oh, and by the way, the roster is almost essentially gutted because everybody's left anyways. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, The Athletic, Robbie and Rexroad. He'll join us next. We'll get Joe's reaction to the news. And is he taking the cheese that the University of Tennessee is laying out for us about why they really fired Jeremy Pruitt? We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Again, the breaking news today, Jeremy Pruitt out, fired for cause. Level 1 and Level 2 violations at the University of Tennessee. Athletic Director Philip Fulmer is retiring. But as the Tennessee brass was very sure to point out, Fulmer had nothing to do with anything that had to do with why Pruitt was fired. Again, I'm not sure how much I believe that, but that's what they were saying. And then 9 other staffers, including 2 coaches, all fired for cause today. Looks like Tennessee is facing a very lengthy, it looks like they're facing a very lengthy NCAA investigation, which I'm sure nobody likes. Trevor Maddich will join us at the top of the hour. He'll take your thoughts and calls as well. Joe Rexroad joins us, though, from The Athletic, host Robbie and Rexroad right here every morning. Joe, what was your reaction, not to the news of Pruitt being fired, because I don't think I was really surprised by that. What was your reaction to the press conference we heard and the explanations given?
That was a pretty embarrassing press conference. That was right up there. It brings me back to, I guess it was 3 years ago, right? Yeah, 3 years ago. John Curry has been fired, but yay, let's celebrate that Fulmer's back presser was very weird. And of course, I was in attendance for that one, not for this one today. That was the weirdest presser I've ever been to. And just the entire reaction around that whole thing, it's like, your coaching search is blown up. You just fired your AD, but everyone's happy. Okay, I don't know. This was more just shovels and shovels full of BS is really what it was. I mean, we're going to talk about integrity is all. If you want to come to, if you want to go to a place with integrity, come to Tennessee. Like anyone who has a clue about college athletics thinks that like any major college football program, players aren't getting more than room, board, and tuition. It's a joke. And it's just, to me, I listened to that, and I said, so you guys think we're all idiots.
So what I wonder is the next shoe to drop in all of this, because I'm with you. I thought the whole, butt-kissing of Philip Fulmer, but Fulmer's going to retire, that bothered me a little bit. That doesn't make any sense. Just like last week when Kevin Steele was announced as a hire in the middle of a hiring freeze, to come in and be to be an assistant coach on Jeremy Pruitt's staff. I never bought that. I don't buy the Fulmer butt kissing, and yet they did it profusely in this press conference. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was that was embarrassing too. With Fulmer, I think it's fairly clear, and this is based on, reading some tea leaves too, but even talking to people in the last few weeks, I don't think Fulmer knew all along this was coming. I really don't. I don't think this was like Fulmer was in all along, knew this was happening, this is all planned. I don't want to say he was blindsided. He couldn't have been blindsided, but I still think that there was some hope on that side that Jeremy Pruitt could save his job. And obviously, not the case. Then it becomes, obviously, Pruitt. I mean, you could look at this whole situation and say, man, giving that guy an extension for no reason in the fall is almost fireable, you know, on Pruitt's end. It's not fireable for real, but clearly, you know, this is his guy, and even though he was put in a bad spot in hiring him because it was a coaching search that had already gone off the rails, this was still his hire. And so I don't know if I look at this like he was fired and they just let him save face, or I mean, I have no idea. Maybe it's how he said, like, I just want to get out of here. But the whole thing about, like, this was like him raising the trophy in Tempe, like, dude, why do you say crap like that? Like, no one wants to hear that right now. It's ridiculous.
Joe Rexroad with us. Where do you think, how do you think people look at Tennessee right now? Like, outside of, you know, the people that live here that love the Vols, and one day the Vols will rise again. I mean, how can you look at Tennessee right now after what happened with the Schiano non-hire, the way Pruitt was hired, the John Curry ousting, the Fulmer coming back in, and now to see where you are 3 years later? I don't know how people can look at this program and try to compare with Georgia, Florida, or Alabama, but how do you think people do view this job?
Well, the job, I think it's has a very dim view outside of Tennessee. Look, I mean, I think you could make that case last coaching search. Some of the coaches who, to me, I would have expected to walk to Knoxville to take the job, opted out, you know, and that alone, that was the last search. That was before Curry gets fired and all these other things happen. So, I think there's a very dim view of it, and I can't blame anyone for having that view. And I think it looks like a dysfunctional place in the coaching community. The way this is viewed is, okay, so Tennessee just signed up for NCAA violations to save $12 million. Whether that's totally fair or not, that's what the coaching community believes, okay? You know, I mean, look, I don't know what all led to this investigation, but you don't see this happen. What you see is places where they win, they won't fire the coach, like LSU basketball, you know? And if Jeremy Pruitt was winning and was in a different situation on the field, I do not believe that we would be talking about this right now.
And I wonder, Joe, how much that hurts their credibility for finding another coach. Because if I'm Luke Fickell and I've already turned down Michigan State, and you call me, and I feel like you're going to sign me to a contract and pay me a bunch of money, are you going to look to fire me if things go south and not honor the contract? Because, again, I mean, I know they said level one and level two violations. I watched Ole Miss play with Hugh Freeze's coach through level one and level two violations. I watched people defend Rick Pitino and him continue as coach when they had prostitutes coming into the dorm. I watched Memphis basketball play a kid when the NCAA said last year, don't play the kid. I saw Bruce Pearl interfere in Auburn's investigation and keep his job when they ended up in the Final Four. And I can't believe that coaches outside aren't looking at Tennessee and saying, why would I go there if they're not going to treat me and negotiate with me in good faith?
Yeah, no doubt. Now, look, there's more, you know, there are details that are going to come out on the investigation. So, you know, I mean, I have no doubt that there's some serious stuff in here. I mean, I've been hearing that for weeks from the time, I guess it's been almost a month now, that, you know, that this came out, that this is real stuff. And so this is real stuff. But like you said, I mean, if your coach is doing what you pay your coach to do in college athletics, then you find a way to spin it and keep the coach. This whole dog and pony show today about, oh, we're about integrity at Tennessee, it's just so embarrassing and so insulting.
So where do you think the Vols go from here?
Well, you know, obviously they need to find a good AD. I mean, the bottom, through all the BS today, I mean, I agree with Philip Fulmer that the next coach needs to know that the AD is going to be there. We all knew Philip Fulmer was a short timer. So you got to hire a good AD. And I think that, you know, I think you have a chance. You should be able to find a good AD. And if you hire a good AD with a good reputation, now that gives you a chance. I mean, you're still in the coaching community. There's going to be all those questions like, why would I come there? That place looks like a complete dumpster fire with no leadership, with total dysfunction top to bottom. But if you have a good AD who will advocate for the coach and there's some assurance that the AD actually has power – you know, now you've just improved your chances of getting a decent coach. I mean, I suspect Tennessee's probably going to have to go more along the lines of like the Jamie Chadwell route than, you know, someone like a Tom Herman or Gus Malzahn route. I mean, probably a less proven coach than, you know, the top guys. I mean, like a Fickell, I don't think he would even think about it, you know. But, you know, a coach like that could still potentially work out. It's just more of a risk. And still, a coach like Chadwell, for example, compared to Pruitt, is at least someone who has been a head coach. And so, again, like I don't totally blame Fulmer on that because he was in a terrible spot. Also, I'll argue with you to the end of time that Greg Schiano was a bad hire, would have been a bad hire, wouldn't have fit. And not,
it'd be better than it is right now if they had Greg Schiano as coach.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
That's I know I'm not saying you would have won the national title at Tennessee, but I just think I think it would be a lot better with Greg Schiano as coach. Last one before we let you out of here, Joe.
I mean, Bozo the Clown would be better than this, though. I mean, come on.
That's all I'm saying is it would have been better. Jared Stillman might have been better, but
that's true.
I think a lot of people are ruling this out. I saw your colleague from The Athletic, Bruce Feldman, said on the midday show today that Hugh Freeze is not an option at Tennessee. You can't have level one and two violations, fire your coach for cause, and turn around and hire Hugh Freeze. He says he doesn't even think Greg Sankey would let them hire Hugh Freeze. Do you agree, and how do you think Vol fans will feel if Freeze is completely out of the picture in the discussion?
Well, they have to be realistic. He has to be. There's no – I mean, you can't sit there at a press conference. As much BS as was thrown around that room, you can't sit there and talk about integrity this, integrity that, acting like what Jeremy Pruitt did was the crime of the century, and he's like this, you know, this guy who needs to be locked away, and then go and try to explain hiring Hugh Freeze. I mean, that's just – you can't do it. As much hypocrisy as there is in college athletics and at Tennessee – I mean, you just ended that opportunity. So if you're a Vols fan who's still talking about Hugh Freeze, you just got to move on from that. There's no way.
My man, Joe Rexroad, tomorrow we'll hear your takes on all this. Joe, appreciate it. And, of course, I'm sure The Athletic will have a great piece up there as well.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep, Joe Rexroad joining us on the program. Trevor Maddich is here, ESPN college football analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the move, his thoughts on Tennessee. I mean, again, and Joe hit on the press conference. I mean, the press conference today. I understand Philip Fulmer is a legend at Tennessee. You don't need to spend an entire press conference where you're firing the coach whom he hired with cause, how great Philip Fulmer is. Oh, and by the way, he's retiring. That seemed a little odd to me, as did everything else surrounding this. We'll get Trevor's thoughts. Where do the Vols go from here? Kevin Steele is interim coach. Guys into the transfer portal. How do they put a roster together? It's a mess. TriStar Moving, they're not a mess. When I decided to move, I hate moving as much as everybody. In fact, you cannot hate moving more than I hate moving. You can hate it as much, but you can't hate it more. That's why I was so glad that I found my friends at TriStar Moving. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. That's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. Everything was taken care of, covering the floors, banisters, railings, front door thresholds, the door itself, wrapping and protecting all of the furniture and putting TVs in protected boxes. They even offer storage services in case you need a safe place for all of your things. They do it all. The owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they truly care about helping the community any way they can. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio. They will give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared sent you. TriStar Moving, my official movers. Trevor Maddich is next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.